All right. Well, good morning, Cross Point. I hope you're doing well this morning. My name's Kurt. If we haven't had a chance to meet, it's great to have you here with us this morning at Cross Point. If you're here for the first time, man, welcome. Great series to be joining us in. And just kind of a moment of honesty, how many of us have seen the new Lion King out of curiosity? Oh, yeah, quite a few of us. Now, how many of us saw the 1994 version? All right. Wow. How many of you were not alive in 1994? There's always a few. So I want you to do the math in your head. How old were you in 1994 when the original version came out? Just do the math in your head. Ready. All right, on the count of three, we're going to yell it out. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Man, you guys are good. All right, so I was 21 when the original version came out. I did not see it till I had kids. And so today we're going to take a look at this second installment of this Disney classic, great movie, and we're going to look at some of the fibers of faith that run through this movie and that really speak into where our identity comes from. And then we're going to have the opportunity for some baptisms today. Am I excited about that? Yeah, I mean, we love baptism weekends at Cross Point. And maybe today is your day. Maybe you didn't come prepared, but this is the day that you're going to take that step. Now, just before we get into this, really cool moment this week. If you are part of Dream Big campaign here at Cross Point, this is going to kind of land with you. We had a moment this week, and it was kind of similar to if you had a child that started kindergarten this year, like that moment where they walk out the door and you take the photo as they're leaving, right? And you're like, oh, and someday you're going to look back on that and go, remember when? Well, this was our remember when photo when Chris and I, our pastor of multiplication, we began our first reconnaissance mission going out to identify the next location for Cross Point Campus number 2. So it was a very, very cool moment. We've been doing a lot of research in the office here, discerning, but we're now actually getting out in the communities. And so that was just a cool moment as we prepare for that campus to launch next fall. And speaking of identity, that's a part of our identity here at Cross Point. We are a church that is about bringing people in, helping them find their way to God, and then building them up and then sending them out. Not just bring, build, keep, but we want to bring, build, send so that we can, bring, build, help people grow in Christ, and then go out and create new communities like what we experience here. And so that's very much a part of our mission here, and we're excited about what God's doing. So today, we're going to talk about two decisions that you and I can make that allow us to find the life that we want and the life that God created us to live. And this is the tension we see in The Lion King. When young Simba, he has this decision to make, and it's really about whether he's going to embrace his role as the rightful king of his lion pride. And so before we get too much deeper into the movie, there's a verse we're also going to look at today, and we're going to look at the beginning of it later this morning. I want to show you the end of the verse, because this is really my hope and prayer that we walk away with today. So this is Romans 2, 12, verse 2, and this is kind of the back end of the verse. It says, then you will be able to decide what God wants for you, and you will be able to know what is good and pleasing to God. Now who wouldn't want to know that? Wouldn't that be so great to know? Like what God wants from us, what God created me for, what his plan is for my life. I mean, we worry and obsess over this all the time, right? I mean, am I walking down the right path? Am I heading in the right direction? This is Simba's challenge. He knows what he's, been blessed for, that he's going to be the king one day, but he's like, am I on the right path to get there? Now, if you're not a Christian, if you're here this morning, you're kind of checking church out for the first time, or somebody invited you because you just heard we had free movie tickets, and you're like, I'm in. Whatever the reason, we're glad you're here. But you have these same questions. I mean, you probably have questions about, what's my preferred purpose? What's the destiny that I'm moving toward? And so to get there today, we're going to do a little bit of crowd interaction, all right? Because much of what we're talking about today is very reflective in terms of what's going on in our lives in this room today. And so the word that we're going to kind of look at today is a word that I'm going to put up here on the screen, and it's a big word. We talk about it at times. It's this word right here. See if my pen will write. I had to write with my middle finger on. Here we go. Identity. Can you read that? Oh my word. Let's start that over. Why is it always right here? My pen doesn't work. And now I can't spell it. All right, there we go. All right, identity. Now, identity is an interesting word. Identity is different than identification. All right, identification is what happens when you go to CVS or Walgreens and you're trying to buy Sudafed D. And they're like, can I have identification? I mean, it's crazy that we have to do that, but that's the state of our world, right? Identification is how other people actually identify who you are. Identity, on the other hand, is how you identify you. It's how you, what you think about you. It's what you're forming into. It's the conversation you and I have in our head all throughout the day, ongoing about, okay, who am I and how am I responding? Does anybody else like have conversations in their head about identity? I know I do. Maybe you do or don't. What forms our identity? Well, there's a number of things that form our identity. I mean, you know, a lot of that happens at birth, the family that we're born into, right? But it's way more than that. I mean, our identity is forming all throughout our life. It's ever taking shape. And one of the things that shapes our identity, let me see if I can do this a little better here. One of the things that shapes our identity are these right here. Events. Man, I had to write with my middle finger again. middle finger is used for a lot of things. It's a very useful tool. Now, here's a simplistic way to think about this, all right? All of us have events that happen in our lives all the time. And in some way, shape, or form, we allow those things to influence our identity. So here's where I want us to do a little crowd interaction this morning. I'd love for you to, like, play along in this moment, all right? And so if you came with someone today, I'm going to have you just turn and say a word to them. And if you're an extrovert in the room, this is like your dream day in church because you get to go across the aisle if you want to and talk to whoever you want to talk to, all right? Like, oh, I get to do it and it's okay. All right, and if you're an introvert, you're dying right now, right? Like, I'm an introvert and I hate these moments, but I'm on platform, so I don't have to deal with it. So, but nonetheless, no, if you're an introvert and you don't want to participate, here's what you do. You're in church, so it's really cool. You can, like, bow your head, close your eyes, and people are, you just, like, act like you're, like, connecting with your creator, and people are going to look at you and be like, oh, they're having a moment. I'm not going to talk to them. All right, so here's what I want you to do. We're going to take about 10 seconds. I want you to think of a word just say one event to the person next to you that has happened in your life that has shaped your identity, all right? So one event that shaped your identity. I'm going to give you about 10 seconds. You ready? All right, ready? Go. Just say one word out loud to the person next to you. Yeah, and you can say it out loud. We're in church. We can talk and have fun. Nice and loud. All right. Yeah, there you go. All right, so pencils down. Pencils down. Here we go. Everybody hopefully had a chance to say something. I'll share one with you from my life. When I was the age of 10, my family moved from here in central Indiana to Battle Creek, Michigan. I was a Hoosier, born and raised a Hoosier, and I became a Wolverine. And so that move, that event was had a lot of identity issues. I mean, it actually solidified me as a Hoosier. I mean, I hung on to my, you know, rooting for the Indiana Hoosiers. But that had some identity issues that kind of, you know, extrapolated out in my life, just something as big as a move. And so I want to hear a few from you. What's one thing? Just shout them out. One from over here. What's one thing that's event that's affected your life or your identity?
Baptism.
Baptism. Awesome. Okay. Baptism. All right. What else? Kids. What was that one?
Deliverance.
College. One more from over here. College. Hey, you try to write in front of a couple hundred people and see how well you do, all right? All right, any others? Any others? What was that? Divorce? I hear divorce. Yeah, I'm going to put that. I think that's what I heard. That's good. Not that that's good. It's just that's exactly what. Man. Yeah, yeah. All right. And yeah, there we go. Divorce. And I'm going to put marriage as well. That's right here, right? All right. So these events. Now, as you look at these things, are these things good? Are they bad? Both? They're really neither. I mean, actually, all of these events are neutral in our lives. I mean, think about it. You know, some of these are good, some of them may be bad. Remember the song, A Boy Named Sue, Johnny Cash? Anybody remember that song? Like, it was about a dad who named his son Sue. And how the kids, like, man, it just screwed my life up, I think. I mean, I was always in a fight. Kids were always making fun of me. And being a boy with the name Sue is really hard. And so, you know, He was in fight after fight, and yet it built his character. It made him who he was. If you know the song, he gets into the song and has a chance to meet his dad, and he's like, Dad, why did you name me Sue? Why would you name your son Sue? And his dad says, well, I wanted to make you tough. Well, it did that, right? And so was it good? Was it bad? I don't know. It made him who he was, right? And so in this week's movie in Lion King, Scar, who is Simba's uncle, he actually convinces Simba to go to this gorge and to work on his roar. He says, you need to go work on your roar. This is where your dad worked on his roar. And so Simba's not really supposed to be in this area, but he goes anyway because his uncle, you know, tells him to do so. And as a result, through a number of events, which I'll share a little bit more on later, Simba's father, Mufasa, has to rescue him, and he actually dies in the midst of that scene. And so, you know, Scar actually kind of set this whole thing up, and he blames young Simba for his father's death. And Simba, he looks at his uncle. He says, what am I supposed to do? And Scar says, well, I can tell you what I would do. I would never go back, and I would leave and never return. And that's what Simba does. He leaves. He goes off for 10, 12, 15 years, and he's disconnected from his lion pride. He's disconnected from his family, from his whole community. Is that good? Is it bad? I don't know. I mean, it certainly made him who he needed to be. See, these events, life is all about how we respond to it. And yet there's something that's in between our identity and these events, and that is this right here. There is something called belief. All right? So our belief is between our identity and our events, meaning what we believe about the events that take place actually shape our identity. The event doesn't necessarily shape our lives. It's how you process it. It's how you determine what you think about yourself based on what happens, right? I mean, this is what shapes our identity. I mean, nobody hands you a playbook, you know, when you start life and says, hey, here you go. When this happens, here's how you respond. When this happens, here's how you respond. Instead, we create our lives based on the decisions we make. We create our lives based on how we respond to the things that are that touch our lives and how we see ourselves. In fact, you can't be who you were meant to be until you determine who you are. This is one of the things we discover through The Lion King with Simba. You can't really be who you were meant to be until you determine who you are. Now, one of the things that happens in faith, one of the things that happens as we think about, you know, what it means to become a Christian, to begin a life with Christ, is so often we think, well, you know, once I become a Christian, everything's just going to change, like right there. Everything just changes. Well, yes, it does to a certain degree. And then at the same time, no, it doesn't necessarily. Because I still have the same habits, I still have some of the same patterns, I still, you know, have some of the same problems and identity issues. Those still show up in my life, like still ongoing. In fact, we have this verse, one of my favorite verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, which means anyone who has received Jesus into their life, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, and the new is here. And so somehow we just think that overnight, like everything changes. I call it the camp syndrome. Like if you went to camp as a kid, as a student, you ever went to church camp, then it's like, you know, there's something about getting away from your normal environment and you just engage with Jesus maybe in a different way. And maybe Jesus says something, gets a hold of your life when you're away from your normal routine. And all of a sudden you're like, everything's changing. I mean, I can remember we'd have like CD burning parties where like all my music is going in the fire at the campfire because that influence is going to be taken out of my life. My music is such a bad influence on me. Anybody else do that? Like have a burn the CD party. I don't know what they do today. Is it like burn the digital files or, you know, corrupt the file party? I don't know what it is. But it was one of these moments where it was like all sticks in the fire. Everything's changing for me. I'm going to go home. I'm going to be different. And it would last for a couple days, right? But eventually you have to go back to normal life and reality and the day in, day out hard decisions. And really the bigger question is, am I going to live out of what I have in Jesus after that powerful moment? Because the change has begun, but to realize the full totality of transformation happens over time. And in fact, this is one of the reasons we have small group environments here at Crossville. You hear us talk over and over and over about small groups. Well, why are we so big on small groups? Well, because we understand that there's certain things that can happen in this room. I mean, change begins in this room, but there's something about getting out of rows and into circles and homes and coffee shops where the change begins to take traction and the roots begin to go deep in our lives. We realize that the initial change may happen in times like this, but to walk that out over time, it needs to be in community. In fact, we say that the real growth really happens in in community, in small group environments. And so we're going to be launching these groups here come October. As Eric said, we have a goal of 50 groups. So we have a place for every single person to find a place to land in a small group community for 6 weeks. We have, I think, 29 hosts today. We need 21 more small group leaders to create environments, whether it's in your home or in a coffee shop, where you can create a place for people to come and just wrestle through the things we talk about on weekends. And what is God growing in my life? And how can we encourage one another? And here's the crazy thing. If you've ever hosted a group and you're not currently signed up to host, or you've ever been felt like, you know, I should do that, I should lead a group, man, right now is your time. It's one of our next steps today. And maybe God wants to use you, because here's what I would, here's where I kind of want you to see. Maybe there are people that if you don't invite them into your living room or your circle or your coffee shop, wherever you land, they may not go to a group. I mean, Julian, every single year, we try to, you know, create a place for some of our friends to connect into a group. And we know that if they aren't in a group, it may take an invite. And so we invite them into a group so that they can have a place to connect in community. There may be people that have come here as a result of you giving an invite that may not connect in a group if you don't create a place. And we'll train you. We'll give you the tools, everything you need to lead that group successfully. But maybe today, you know, if you've been on the fence on it, maybe it's just time to sign up and say, hey, I want to lead a group. Now, I want to talk about the process we go through, you know, over the next few minutes that we enter into as this transformation begins to happen. Because, you know, we can begin to shape and form the identity that God wants to create in us. And it's the same process Simba goes through in The Lion King. All right, it's the process that deeply roots his identity in who he is and prepares him to become king. So we looked at the back end of Romans chapter 12 a bit ago at the beginning of the message. I want to talk about the front end of it now. And this is a very familiar verse. We've unpacked it before. I'm going to unpack it again. And this is the kind of verse that you need to revisit like regularly, because our identity shifts and forms constantly. And so we have to continue to ask, okay, what's going on and how is my identity forming? And is it the true identity that I'm really supposed to be living out of? And so here's what Romans 12:2 says at the beginning of the verse. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. I don't know if you realize it or not, but there's a pattern to how the world works. And in this case, what Paul's talking about is there's certain things that happen in life, certain events that happen, and you and I, we form beliefs about those events. And so that's a very natural pattern in the world. Here's how this pattern plays out in Lion King. The scene where Simba is tricked into going into this gorge and beginning to work on his roar. All right, his uncle Scar the whole time was trying to trick him to do this so his father would have to come and rescue him, because Scar is trying to knock his father off. All right, and so Simba goes into this valley. He begins to work on his roar. The spotted hyenas come in. They actually start a stampede of wildebeest that trample Mufasa, Simba's father, as he comes to rescue his son. And these wildebeests push him to the edge of the gorge, and he's hanging on by a limb for his life. Now, what Simba doesn't know is Scar has the opportunity to save his father. And he looks at him, and he pushes him over the cliff as he falls to his death. And then he goes back, and he tells Simba, he says, Simba, it's your fault. It was your responsibility, because you were here that your father actually died. And what happens in that moment is the same pattern that you and I go through when events happen in our life. The same is true. He begins to believe that there are certain things that are true based on that event. So he goes, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to be the king, but I'm not very responsible. If I created the death of my father, I can't be a king. I'm not responsible enough to be a king. And oh my word, the lion pride would never trust me. I can't be trusted. I mean, who kills their father? Who kills the sitting king? They'll never trust me as their king. I mean, I'm going to just be a disappointment to everybody. That's what I am. I'm a disappointment. Everybody expected me to live up to a higher standard. And then he kind of ends with, there's no way I can go back to my lion pride. They won't welcome me back. Nobody loves me there anymore. And he begins to fill in the blank between the event and his identity with what he believes. And you and I do this all the time, do we not? So Paul, he wants to give us a pattern. He says, I want to give you a pattern as to how you break this cycle right here. Because that pattern is very normal, all right? And it's very dangerous. And so Paul, the guy who's writing this, understand Paul. Paul is a guy who's now a Christian as he's writing this, but he used to be against Christians. He hated Christians. And so this is a guy who knows a bit about having a past and having to get out of the pattern of the things that I've done and the things I've experienced and what I may fill in the blank on that creates my identity. He understands how I've got to change my belief about myself and that my events don't necessarily create my identity. He gets this. So here's what he says. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So a really important word here is mind. See, the battle for our identity doesn't start outside of ourselves. It starts right here in our mind. Let me say that again. The battle for our identity doesn't start outside of ourselves. It starts right here in our mind. In fact, Henry Ford, he once said, you know, if you think you can do a thing or if you think you can't do a thing, you're right. Think about that. If you think you can do it or you can't do it, you're right, both ways. How is that? Because whatever you think in your mind is what you will do. It all starts with the mind. I once heard someone else say, whatever happens in the mind will eventually show up in your life. So Paul, he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Another big word we have to pay attention to right here is the word transformed. Transformed is a very hopeful word. It's this idea that whatever has been formed in you, whatever has shaped you to this point, you actually have the opportunity to reform that. And the question is there anything in your life about your identity and what you believe about yourself that you want to reform? And if you do, then let me tell you good news, because this tells us that you and I can be transformed. We can reform that. See, some of us, you don't like the family that you were raised in. I mean, you look back at your childhood, you don't like what you were taught or what you experienced as a child. Good news, you don't have to be the way you were raised. That can be reshaped, reformed. All right, some of you don't like the events that have happened in your past. All right, you don't like the way those things have shaped you. Good news, you don't have to be your past. Some of you don't like the person that you dated or the person that you married in your first marriage or your second marriage. You know, some of you have had a lot of relational failure. Some of you have had good relationships and then some bad ones. Some of you have trampled on people's hearts. Some of you have had your hearts trampled on. Good news, you do not have to be, you know, that person who trampled on someone's heart. You can actually be reformed. You get the opportunity to be transformed. That's what Paul's saying right here, that we can actually reshape that identity. And it happens through the process of renewing the mind. So, let me give you two like really simplistic ways that we go through this process of renewing. All right, two big parts of renewing. The first part of renewing is replacing. All right, replacing. Renewing involves replacing certain statements or certain beliefs, things that I believe about myself with something else that's true about me. And so let me show you what this kind of looks like right here. Let's say, for instance, on this list, I know it's hard to read because my writing has been terrible. let me take divorce right here, for instance. Say divorce is something that you say, oh, that shaped who I am. That event has shaped who I am. And so as a result of that, you may say, well, I feel, as a result of divorce, I feel rejected. That's just how I am. I'm rejected. I mean, somebody didn't want me any longer. Or you might go, well, that's kind of harsh. Well, I'm just trying to make something up on the spot here, all right? So bear with me, all right? Well, if you feel that way, I know that's a very real feeling, though. But see, that's not what God says about you. And so replacing has to do with saying, well, I don't know that that's fully what's true about me. I'm actually going to cross that out. I'm going to replace that, and I'm going to say that, you know, God says I'm chosen, which means that I'm a child of God. See, God says, you were chosen. You're one of my children. I chose you. It didn't happen by accident. Don't let that event that took place, you know, impact what you believe about yourself. You got to replace that belief. So replacing is really, really important because, see, for some of us, we sit here today and we've been so defined by our past that we live strictly out of that identity. And we're paralyzed by those past events. But what Paul wants us to see is your past does not have to define who you are. So we've got to stop and ask, okay, what's really true about me? That one standalone event may have happened, but that doesn't mean that informs what's most true about who I am. What's most true about who I really am? We've got to figure that out. We'll get to that in just a moment. So renewing is about replacing. All right, maybe more importantly, renewing is also about prioritizing. It's about ranking. All right, see, there's a lot of things that I believe are true about me, and I think you would believe, as I believe, but there are certain things that are more true about me than other things. All right, and the things that are most true about me are the things that I need to elevate in my mind. Why? Because see, when you go through a season of challenge, when you go through a difficult, you know, season of your life, which you may be in right now, when you go through a season where evaluation is always at hand, whether you're in a performance evaluation or you're in a, you know, presentation, you know, ongoing presentation, you're trying to land a sale or you're in an interview or an audition or a tryout of some kind, you need to know that how I perform there doesn't necessarily set who I am and what's most true about me. You know, speaking of just, you know, this weekend, I mean, I think the whole corporate Colts Nation did an audible gasp last night, right? Just a groan, right? I was walking out of the game last night when I heard the news, and, you know, my son's like, oh my gosh, did you see Andrew Luck's retiring? I think we all were like, and disappointed. But my word, you know, as I sat there and processed that through the night last night, and I heard, you know, this interview with Andrew Luck, I thought, kudos to a guy who can say, you know what, my identity is way bigger than this cycle that I've been in. And it's been messing with me and it's been tearing me down. My identity is way bigger. I've got to prioritize things that are most true about me, just the things over the things that have been true about me. See, there's seasons we have to replace. And how do you know what's most true about you? How do you know what's most true about you? It's what your creator says about you. It's about the person who made you says about you. And so you have to replace the things, the beliefs you've latched onto with the things your creator says about you. You have to favor them. All right, you do this all the time in social media, right? I mean, you guys get in your feeds and you see something you like and you like it or you heart it and it moves to the top of your feed. Why do you do that? Because you're prioritizing. You're like, I want this to be the first thing that people see. This is what's most true about me. You do this in your photo file all the time, right? On your phone. Like you go into your photos and you're like, oh, I like that photo. It goes into your favorites folder, right? Well, why do you do that? Because you want to have a folder that's like the images that are most true about who you are. If you want to know what's most true about you, you need to listen to what your heavenly father, your spiritual dad says about you. See, this whole conversation is more about deciding who's going to have the power and the authority to actually define my identity. And it's answering the question, what's most true about me? Well, what's most true about me is what your heavenly father says about you. In The Lion King, you know, Simba, through this traumatic experience where he loses his father, he feels like it's his responsibility. He does what probably many of us do in moments like that. He runs. He leaves. He follows his Uncle Scar's instructions. He leaves the tribe, the lion pride. And he ends up far from home in the oasis. This is where he meets these two characters, Timon and Pumbaa. And they kind of live by the Hakuna Matata mentality. Oh, no worries. Just enjoy and whatever comes your way. And so that's what he falls into. And he, in the midst of that, forgets who he is and why he's here. And yet, over these years, he's growing. He's maturing. He's growing in stature. And the years go by, and now he's grown into adult form. And he runs into this character, Rafiki. Now, Rafiki, if you're not familiar with the movie, Rafiki is like the Yoda of The Lion King, all right? He's like the wise sage that enters the picture, and he says, Simba, your father's spirit lives in you. Now, think about the spiritual connect to that. Your father's spirit lives in you. And then that night, Simba's father shows up, his spirit shows up in a cloud, and he speaks to his son, and he says, Simba, remember who you are. See, when we begin to replace misguided beliefs, you know, that maybe somebody else says about us, or maybe an event said about us, or maybe we've allowed a past event or a past failure to speak into our lives. When we replace those and we prioritize and we replace what our Heavenly Father says is most true about us, guess what, man? It changes every area of your life. And if you're a leader in what you do in your career, actually, let me back out of that. As a leader in your career or in your home or in the community, wherever you lead, one of the most helpful things you can do is prioritize and rank. And whenever a belief comes in that you're like, that's not what's most true about me, I'm going to replace that with what my Heavenly Father says about me. Because see, then in whatever, wherever you're leading, you're not going to be trying to find your identity in that. You're going to bring your identity to that setting. When you allow this truth to translate into your identity, things begin to change. So I want to close this morning by reading you a list. And this is a list of things that God says are true about you. Now, before I get to this list, let me just connect for a moment why baptisms are a part of our morning this morning. Why are we doing water baptisms over here in a moment? It's because what's going to take place in this tub is very similar to what Mufasa said to Simba. You know, he said, remember who you are. Whoever steps into this tub this morning, they've already accepted Christ into their life. And this is like this defining moment where they're publicly saying, hey, here's who I am. It's like, no pun intended, a watershed moment, you know, to say, hey, my identity isn't in my past. It's not in who I was in the past. My identity is in Christ. That's who I am. I need a reminder moment to remind me who I am. In fact, Jesus, he commands us to believe and be baptized. Believe and be baptized. In fact, Mark 16:16, Jesus says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. So belief is the key to receiving. When we assent to Christ, Jesus, I want to receive your grace. But baptism, he says, believe and be baptized. Why is it so important? You know, we see another episode when Jesus is on the cross, hanging on the cross, and he's got two thieves on either side of him. And he turns to each of them. One thief spits on him, continues to scorn him. And the other thief, he turns to Jesus and he says, Jesus, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom today? And that was his profession of faith right there. He didn't pray like a sinner's prayer, some forgiveness prayer. That was his saying, Jesus, I believe you're who you say you are. Will you remember me? Will your grace come into my life? And remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, today, you will be with me in paradise. Now, Jesus didn't say, hey, let me get a bucket and sprinkle you before you die so you can, it's not some hoop to jump through so you can make your way into heaven. It's an identifier. It's the belief that allows us to enter relationship. But baptism is a powerful identifier. It becomes a part of our identity that, you know what, yeah, I do have a past and I don't have it all together. But you know what? I've received Jesus and my primary identity is as a child of God. I've chosen him and he's chosen me. So the people who step into this tub today, it doesn't mean their life is all together. What it means is they know they've got a savior and their primary identity is in Jesus and they're just publicly declaring that. And if that's a step you need to take today, maybe you've received Jesus and you've struggled with your identity. Maybe you've received him years ago or last week or anywhere in between, but you've never taken the step of water baptism. I just want you to know maybe today's your day. Today you can take the step of water baptism. And you may not have come prepared, but we're prepared for you. We've got, you know, a team out there ready to serve you clothing, shorts, undergarments, t-shirts, hair product, everything you need to have this experience and leave in the same dry clothes you came in. So we're going to have the opportunity to do that in just a moment. And you can bring a friend to the tub if you want. Bring somebody with you, somebody that's been a part of your journey. If you want to invite them, we'd love them to join you in the water. So as you think about that, anybody who's contemplating that, I want to read you this list of things that God says are most true about you. And I think all of us will connect with at least one of these this morning. All right, and some of you may connect with all of them. And if you need to just let out a oh yeah, that's me, or you know, you just need to latch on and say, yes, Jesus, that's what I needed right there today. These are your next steps too. So, you know, maybe it's about looking at this list and then saying on your card, hey, I'm gonna replace and prioritize some beliefs about myself this week with what God says about me. All right, so whatever it is, I just want to encourage you to let these soak in. Just breathe these in this morning, because this is what your Heavenly Father says is most true about you. I belong to God. I am chosen by God. I am a new creation in Him. I am forgiven in Him. I am included by Him. I am significant because God formed me and made me. I am not defined by my past. I am not alone. I'm extravagantly loved exactly as I am, not as I should be. I am set free. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I have been redeemed. My sin has been canceled. And I am a child of God. Now, as you look up at that list this morning, you may need to just hone in on one or two of these this morning and just kind of focus on that and allow that to sink into your spirit this morning. Because this is what God says is most true about you. And I'm confident there's many of us here this morning who have a lot of other beliefs make their way to the top. And so, I mean, whatever it means for you this morning, to just allow God to breathe this identity into you this morning. And I guarantee you, it will change every aspect of your life as you begin to live out of this week. Now, for those of us who want to, you know, take the step of baptism today, if you're feeling that tug, feeling that pull, we're going to go ahead and stand. So let's stand, all of us. And as we stand, if you know you're taking this step today, some of you already came prepared to take the step, you can exit right now, and our team will serve you in the commons out in the lobby and help you get prepared for baptism. If you're standing here and you're just thinking, you know, I've never taken this step, I needed to declare. I mean, there's nothing about these waters that are magical. It's more for you than for God. Jesus commands us to be baptized, but it's because he knows how powerful this moment is. And so if you just need to declare, hey, my identity is in Christ, it's not in my past, not in all these things, then man, make this your baptism day. All right, don't miss this moment. These opportunities come very, very, very few times. All right, let me pray for us, and then we're gonna do some baptisms and sing together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this reminder from the Apostle Paul, who gives us this pathway on how we have to constantly be searching and evaluating the identities that we allow to creep into our beliefs. And God, right now, I just pray that your spirit would wash over this crowd, Father. I pray that you would breathe life into every single one of us, and that your identities, Father, would override any false identities that we believed about ourselves. And Father, for some of us right now, we've come in here today feeling the weight of not being good enough, not being accepted, being alone, and many, many more. And I just pray that you would replace those right now. So just breathe into us what we need to hear right now. And so, Father, we're gonna celebrate some baptisms here. And if there's any of us that continue to need to move right now, God, give us the courage to do that. We don't want to miss this opportunity to say, hey, my identity is in you. And so, Father, we just ask that you'd be honored and that you would just celebrate as we celebrate all that takes place over these next few minutes. And we pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, we're going to sing a few songs. And you're welcome to move if you still at any point decide you want to take the step of baptism. Mark's going to lead us. And we're going to celebrate together.